Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone here, for we know we are here by your choice, by your design, because you wanted us here this morning. Thank you for everyone as we open your word, and help us, Lord, to see you through its pages and its teaching. In Christ's name, amen. So Ryan asked the elders to preach for our favorite Bible verse. Do you know how many Bible verses there are in the Bible? Bert told us how many there were a few weeks ago. Over 31,000 verses. How many do you know? Can you quote them all? A couple? One? Okay. So, my favorite Bible verse. It's really, really hard to pick a favorite Bible verse. I think favorite Bible verses actually come because of what you're going through. This is my favorite Bible verse today. Next week, it might be another favorite Bible verse, and who knows, next year, it may be another one beside. Mine might be Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Or it could be Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Or it may even be Revelation 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, even so come Lord Jesus. But I'm not preaching on any of those today, okay? Today I'm going to share about salvation. Trusting in Christ to deliver me to his kingdom when I leave this world. Fulfilling his promise even when I am weak and unwilling to be used of him. I was privileged to grow up in a Christian home, with parents who loved me and were concerned about me and disciplined me. Any of you have discipline when you were a kid? You don't have to hold up your hand, okay? At that time, I wasn't sure they loved me because they did not allow me to do everything I wanted to do, okay? They didn't let me get my own way. And I found out very early in life it was always better to tell the truth than to lie, okay? Lying or being devious was always punished more severely in our home than if you did something wrong and confessed to it, because that's a character flaw. Lying was not tolerated. Stealing was not tolerated. Speaking evil of my sisters and brother were not tolerated, even though I wanted to sometimes. Using God's name in vain was not tolerated. Words like gosh and golly and gee were all swear words in the household I grew up in, so you didn't use those slang words. But as I grew up, I realized my parents loved me very deeply. And my grandparents loved me. And they were teaching me to appreciate what the Word of God said and to trust the Lord Jesus and to live honestly and to read the Bible. We went to church every time the doors opened. I grew up on a farm. We were 7 miles out of town. But on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night and Thursday night, we were in church. Okay? I didn't pay much attention when I was little. I grew up in a Mennonite church. There were no black people in town. And one day, we had a black evangelist in church. And he was blind. And he had his German Shepherd seeing-eye dog sitting next to him on the podium. And I don't remember what he preached about until all of a sudden he said, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're going to burn in the fires of hell. And I could smell the smoke. And he said, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, come down at the end of the service and I'll pray with you. So as an 8-year-old, when he gave that invitation, I ran down that center aisle of that church and I accepted Jesus Christ as only an 8-year-old can do. But I was still busy aggravating my brother and sisters, okay? I had never thought about dying. And I didn't want to die and I definitely didn't want to go to heaven. But as many of us, when we leave the peace and safety of our home with our family, I did not stay very faithful to God when I was in college. I pretty well left the church, and I pretty well did what society said was okay to do at that time. And you have to understand that I'm not a teenager anymore, okay? So we're not going to talk about what year that was, okay? Events transpired as I watched a friend who had never named the name of Christ find him as his Savior. And his life changed from here to here in 12 hours. He cut his hair. He got rid of his VW microbus with the flower power painted on it. And he went around telling us that we needed to accept Jesus as our Savior. I grew up in the church. I had never told anybody they needed to accept Jesus as their Savior. So that year, my senior year in college, I made a recommitment to the Lord. And I've stuck by that commitment since that time. For without Christ in my life, I would be lost. Each of you, when you came into the sanctuary, received a little brown testament today. Can you hold them up? Surely you got one. If not, we have another box full, okay? It's a New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. It's not the whole Bible. But we're going to go through a portion of it this morning. The Bible contains the mind of God and the state of man, the way of salvation and the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its disciplines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it, as it contains the light for you and food for your thought and comfort to comfort you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored through the word of God, and heaven is open and the gates of hell disclosed. The Bible was given to man from God, revealing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son, the only Savior. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the center and the circumference of our world. It is Christ from Genesis to Revelation in the book of books. The Bible is as high above all other books as the heavens are high above our earth. There is no other book written for Christians, for Christian guidance in the Christian life, better and more complete than the Bible. Someone has said the Bible, read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be right. Last year in 2025, there were 19 million copies of the Bible sold. It's a best-selling book in history. God loves you. Today I would like to ask, you can open your book if you want to turn to John 3:16. I'm going to flip through some of them pretty quick here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God knows your name. Scripture says that he knew you before you were formed in the womb of your mother, and he knew you before the world was ever formed. He knew you would be born, and he knew you would be here today. He sent his son Jesus to die for you and for me. And that is the only way we will be with God when we leave this world. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love for us in that we, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He provided a sacrifice for us. As the Old Testament says, that a sacrifice of blood must be made to cover the sins of his people. God, in his mercy and grace, provided his son as that perfect sacrifice. You ever cut yourself? You ever cut yourself really bad, squirting out? It hurts. God sent his son to do that for me. We are all sinners. Romans 3:10 says it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Just as I was when I was young and growing up, I soon learned I was not perfect. My parents believed in corporal punishment. My dad had a razor strap hanging by the back door of the porch, and he would take that razor strap and snap it. And that sent fear into a young mind, okay? And if that didn't work, he'd go out and get a peach tree twig and do whatever he had to do, okay? I had bad habits, and I had evil intents in my heart, even though I was young. All of us here today have the same thing. Because of various reasons in our hearts, we realize we need God's love and mercy. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 says, for I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. Remember, the Apostle Paul was originally named Saul, a Pharisee who delighted in imprisoning and killing Christians. He was so on fire for the God of the Old Testament, he saw no problem in killing new converts. Then he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He was blinded. None of the other soldiers heard him talk, but God spoke to Paul. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Sin demands death. There are still states here in the United States that have a firing squad as a death penalty, because those states feel and state that the person must sacrifice their own blood for their sin. We inherit our sin nature from our mother and father. I don't mean your birth parents. I mean Adam and Eve, okay? And we have a penchant to put ourselves on the throne of our lives. There used to be a little pamphlet we had that showed a chair, and you were on the chair, and God was beside the chair. And when you accepted Jesus Christ, you put God on the chair, and you stood beside the chair. What about our society today? It's me that's most important than any of you, right? So I still have a tendency to put myself on the throne of my life. We are no different from the generations of humans that lived before us. And we receive the grace of God when we're saved, not by anything we can do on our own. It is a gift. And a gift is not a gift until it's received by someone. So you have a response to make as a believer. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth leads to salvation because God offered to you a gift. But it's not a gift until you receive it. You're not a Christian because of your parents. No one grows up a Christian. No one grows up because their parents or grandparents were Christian. You're not a parent because your spouse is a Christian, or your mother's a Christian, or your friend down the road's a Christian. You're a Christian because you have a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Each of us have the privilege of coming to Christ, one-on-one with the God of the universe, the creator of the world, the God who knew us before the foundations of the world were made. There's a song by Karen Peck and New River. It's probably out of your genre, okay? But it states, "I am amazed that the God of the universe loves me and knows me by name. I'm overwhelmed that the voice of creation speaks to my heart just the same. The God that I serve is the hope for the broken, the lamp for the lost, lonely soul, my healer, my helper, my Savior who died, my Redeemer, my Deliverer, Master and Ruler of heaven and earth. He is calling to your heart today." Ezekiel says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." When you receive Christ, Mark 1:15 says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." We have read the scriptures. Do you believe they're here for you? John 1:12 says, "As many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Salvation is not by works. It's nothing we can do. There's no way we can purify ourselves and make ourselves holy before God. It's only by God's grace and God's mercy that he will forgive us of our sins. The power of Scripture reaches into the hardest heart, the most wicked person, the darkest and most evil sin. He sees us, he knows us, and Scripture tells us that he does not want anyone to perish. And for 2 Peter 3:9, we all deserve the punishment for our sin. But Jesus Christ carried it all on the cross. Pastor Ryan asked us a few weeks ago to pray for someone we could share with or bring to church or just give our testimony to. I venture none of us here have a theological degree, okay? Unless Pastor Paul, okay? Pastor Ryan, I mean. Sorry, so is my age, doesn't it? Okay? So, John 14:6 says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Each of you have received a New Testament today, right? If you're not already found it, if you turn to the back two pages, there are all the verses I just quoted, okay? They are God's word. Just as I have read them out loud to you, I would like to ask each of you to take that testament and whoever God brings in your path this week to share your story about Jesus Christ. Your story is so different than mine because I am not you and you are not me. But it is your story. You don't have to be an evangelist and beat them over the head with God's word. All you have to do is open the back of that book and ask them if they would like to share some scriptures and have them read those scriptures themselves. Because the word of God is quick and powerful, and it pierces our soul, our joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. John 5:24 says, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him and him that sent me has everlasting life and is passed from death to life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. John 20:31 says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. And John 10:27-28 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man ever pluck them out of my hand. You ever raise sheep? When I was a child at home, we had sheep. We also had a tractor with a cultivator mounted on the tractor. I went to school that day, and we had 6 lambs. I came home that night, and all the lambs got their heads stuck under the cultivator shears and all died. I do not like being a sheep. Jesus says, I'm a sheep. That means I'm not very bright. Okay? But he loves each one of us. The Apostle Peter in Acts 10:43 tells us, to him, Jesus Christ, all the prophets witness, and that through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sins. Our world today is in chaos, but it has been ever since sin entered centuries ago. The Lord tells us in Scripture that just like in the days of Noah, that will be the time of the end, and he will be coming back. We do not know the hour or the day of his return, but he said he's coming back. Please use the testament you've been given today to share with someone. Don't let it sit on the coffee stand and get dusty, or don't throw it away. Ask God to just place the right person in your path that you can give that testament to, and you can share. Because no one here knows what eternity will hold, because God's word speaks to the hearts of men. All you really have to do is ask if they'll read the scriptures and then pray with them if they'll let you. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God. But if anyone comes to God, he must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who seek him. Pray the Holy Spirit speaks to the heart of the person you are thinking about right now about sharing that testament with. I'm almost done. 3 more pages, okay? One of my favorite verses is 2 Timothy 1:12. For that which cause I also suffer for those things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So whatever I've done in life, if I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior, he is going to see me through when my time comes to leave this world. Just receiving Christ as my Savior does not mean life will be without trials. My walk has not been a bed of roses. And in my life, there have even been times that have crossed my thoughts, have crossed my mind that is this really real or is it just a story I was made up to believe? Anxiety and depression can sap joy. And it's so fast and so hard until you wake up laying on the floor looking up at the ceiling not knowing what else to do. Sometimes in my life, I try and fix things. That's what men do, you know. We fix things, okay? Much to the chagrin of our wives sometimes, okay? Fix things, but I can't fix things like broken relationships, harsh words that are said that can never be taken back, unforgiveness or bitterness in my soul. Then I remember when we taught Awana Cubbies. And we have four little boys and a little girl in class every week. And at the end of the class, we would always like to ask if anyone would like to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And every week, no, 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 a little snarl, a little facial features, no, no, until the very last day of Cubbies. And we asked the same kids, and one little boy looked up and said, yes. So a five-year-old little boy accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior because this church put enough faith in a program to reach kids for Christ. This world is not final reality in our lives. Social media, even though your kids like it and some of you adults, sit at a restaurant and watch the husband and wife across the table punch their phone rather than talk to each other, okay? Social media is not reality or truth, okay? The Family Channel, where the Christmas movies always end with a kiss and everybody lives happily ever after, anybody watch those things? That's not reality either. Regardless of my feelings or emotions, God's word is truth. I have trusted my life to the God who wrote those words, regardless of the pain or suffering, emotional, physical health, and I will trust him to keep his word. I do not know what today or tomorrow holds, but as the old song goes, I know who holds tomorrow. Back to my story at the first part of the service. When I rededicated my life to Jesus, I became real obnoxious. I wanted everyone to know the power of salvation through Jesus Christ. Just as you have a physical birth date, you should have a spiritual birth date when you meet Jesus Christ as your Lord. It's God's free gift of grace. If you don't know that you have a spiritual birth date, today may be the day you need to make that decision. He gave his son as a sacrifice for me. He gave his son as a sacrifice for you. And I will be eternally grateful for his gift, even though I must admit my finite mind cannot understand why the God of gods and the Lord of lords saw fit to pay my sins when I was still a sinner. I do not ever want to stand before God and be asked why I did not share Christ with the person he brought into my path. I do not want anyone that the Spirit places in your path not to hear about and receive the blessings of Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, 2 Timothy 1:12. I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. So today, if there's anyone here or listening online and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day you can meet him. Pray with me.